Today on The Journey.
Going through the motions, paralyzed by the past, indifference and coldness. That's exactly what the author of the Hebrews is going to teach us today.
As when a maritime fog obscures a firm shore, taking your eyes off Jesus can result in a slow drift into dangerous waters. Today, from the book of Hebrews, Ron Moore urges you to pay close attention to the anchor of your soul. Before that, I want to let you know about Ron's book, Worn Out by Obedience. Its insightful reflections offer warning, grace, and strength for the spiritually weary, and it's available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your gift will help further our ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now let's join Ron for a message titled, Drifting Away on the Journey.
You're single, and you'd like to be married, and you're wondering what God is doing in your life. And you've been waiting, and you've been looking, and you've been praying. If you're a young adult, you've been involved in a lot of weddings. It's just that you didn't stand in the center. And you're ready for that day when God brings that person to life. You're doing it right. But honestly, you're getting tired and kind of worn out and a little disappointed the way God's working in your life. Maybe you were raised in a Christian home. You came to Christ early on in life. And man, you appreciate all the good things about church. You went to a Christian college, married a Christian. Your children trusted in Christ. Your dog even seems to demonstrate fruit of the Spirit sometimes. You love the Lord and you're thankful for all His blessings. But honestly, there are times, and maybe it's right now, where you feel like you're just going through the motions. A lack of excitement. A lack of passion. Songs that used to give you goosebumps. Brings a tear to your eyes. And I just kind of leave you spiritually numb. The testimonies of people whose lives are changed. Again, you just kind of move through that without emotion. Maybe you came to Christ later in your life. And you've been transformed. The people you went to high school with in college, they would not even recognize you. You have taken a right turn for Jesus Christ. But far too often, your past paralyzes you. And you get stalled and stuck by the haunting of the actions of your past. And Satan comes and says, you know what? God can never use you because of what you've done. Maybe there was a day when you prayed a prayer or you walked an aisle or you signed a card or when the pastor said every head bowed and every eye closed and no one looking around. I never know why we add that last thing, because if your head's bowed and your eyes closed, you can't look around. But anyway, that's another topic. You raised your hand. But if you're honest, nothing's changed in your life. You seldom ever open God's word. If you're honest, you have to admit that that profession, that signing the card, walking the aisle, that profession you made no difference at all in your life. Going through the motions, paralyzed by the past, indifference and coldness. That's exactly what the author of the Hebrews is going to teach us today. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, is the first of five what's called warning passages in the book of Hebrews. And this first warning sign in chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, the writer gives us three appeals or three urgings. So let's work our way through those three urgings or appeals today. The first one is refocus. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away. Now, anytime you're reading scripture and you come to the word therefore, it is a grammatical signpost. And the word therefore says, whatever you're getting ready to read is going to be based on what you have already read. So let's just review what we've talked about in chapter 1. In chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, the writer of Hebrews began with the seven excellencies of Christ. And he said, here's who Jesus is. He's the heir of all things. He owns everything. He's the one through whom the world was created. He was there creating the world by his word. The radiance of God's glory. He shines out from God's brilliance. He's the exact imprint of God's nature. You want to know what God looks like? You just look at Jesus. He's the upholder of the universe. That word, remember we talked about? It means conductor, like a conductor of a symphony. He conducts the world. He keeps it going. He's the one who died on the cross for our sins. And then he's the one whose work is complete. He doesn't have to add to it. He sat down at the right hand of God. So in verses 1 through 3, that's who Jesus is. Seven excellencies of Jesus. Then last time we learned that Jesus is superior to the angels. The readers were having an issue maybe worshiping angels. Well, the writer says Jesus is greater than the angels. So here's what the writer's saying as we begin our verse today. Because of who Jesus is, because of his greatness, because of his superiority, because he is supreme above all things, because of who Jesus is, we must pay much closer attention to what we've heard, to the instruction of Christ. Now, if the writer had just said, pay attention, that would have been enough, right? If the writer had said, pay close attention, that would have been enough. But he goes a step further. He says, we must pay much closer attention. There are things, I'm going to tell you, the writer says, that's too important to miss. There are things you can't keep doing. This is a warning. Pay attention. Now, as believers, we know the Holy Spirit comes and lives in us. We can't live a life without the Holy Spirit living in us, right? And at the same time, God partners with us, and we have human responsibility. There are things we've got to do. We can choose to obey or disobey. And after we become a Christian, that's justification, the theological word. The next part of our life until we die and go be with God, that's glorification. This whole section in between is called what? Sanctification. Becoming more holy, becoming more set apart, growing in our walk with Christ. Some of the old writers just called it holiness. And here's what one writer says. Holiness, then, is not necessary as a condition of salvation. We can't be holy and then God says, oh, because you're holy, I'll accept you. That's not a condition of salvation. We are broken and hopeless and helpless and sinners. That's how we come to Christ. Holiness is not necessary as a condition of salvation. That would be salvation by works. But as a part of salvation that we received by faith in Christ. So as we grow in our walk, we have to make sure that we are listening to what we've heard, as the writer says. We've got to make sure we're growing in our walk. Now you say, well, time out. Where's the grace? Isn't it all about grace, this free gift that we have? Yes, and Scripture teaches us when you have the gift of grace, that gift is also the power that allows us to grow. That's what it says in Titus chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It's there. And salvation, again, is not just coming to Christ. It's growing in Christ. It's being with Christ. Justification, sanctification, glorification. So the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Then, Paul says, it teaches us, that grace that brings us teaches us to say no to ungodliness. We're the one saying no, but it's that grace of God, that gift of his, that teaches us to say no to ungodliness, worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, holy, godly lives in this present age. That's why the writer says, you got to pay close attention to what Jesus tells you. So I coached high school basketball, was assistant high school basketball coach the year before I went to seminary when Lori and I were just married. And then after seminary, I coached junior high basketball for 4 years. I loved coaching basketball. It was a blast. And we'd get those kids in there before the game. And we'd have them in the locker room, and they know in just a few minutes, man, they're getting ready to take the court, and their parents are there, and their friends are there, and their grandparents are there. And so we have their attention. And so we put on the board our game plan. The opponent is always bigger, always quicker, always better, but we're taking them tonight. So we put out what we're going to do offensively. Here are the plays we're going to run. Don't forget. Here's the pick you got to set. Here are the things you got to do. Don't forget the basics. And then we go through the defense. We're going to go man-to-man. And John, you have number 10. You got to stay on him all night long. He's their best player. We may go into a zone later on. We may even go to a half-court trap. We may go into a full-court press. But you got to be ready. Man, it looked so good in that locker room. Then we went on the court. And particularly in junior high. It was like those kids just running around. They didn't know where they were. They forgot the game plan. They forgot what we had practiced. They forgot who they were supposed to guard. And so what do we have to do? Okay, timeout. Get them all in a huddle. Guys, first, just breathe. You're just a little bit nervous. Just breathe. Relax. Refocus. This is the game plan. That's what the writer's telling us to do here. Time out. Can't keep going down that road. It's time to refocus. Time to make sure you are on the right way. Because if you don't, there is danger ahead. Look at the rest of the verse. We must pay much closer attention to what we have heard. Because if you don't, here's what's going to happen. Lest we drift away from it. From what we've heard, from the instruction of Christ. That word drift means to float by something or to keep moving by something that you should connect to. It's used of a boat, actually, that is supposed to go into a harbor or supposed to go into a dock, and it misses the anchor. It misses the connection. And it's not bad enough that it misses the connection. The problem is there's danger ahead. There are rocks in the water ahead. There are rapids ahead. If it keeps going on, it's in much danger. That's what the writer's saying here. Man, you have to make certain that you don't drift away from what you believed in, what you held to, what you knew to be true. Won't take time to read it, but jot down Revelation chapter 2, 1 through 5. So Paul writes his letter to the Ephesians. And he says, you are grounded, you are rooted, you demonstrate love to each other. Way to go. That's his letter. Now, fast forward 30 years later, in Revelation 5, Jesus tells the church of Ephesus, you're doing some hard work, you're doing the service, appreciate all that. But you have lost your first love. And then Jesus says, repent, change direction, and return to where you came from. Do the things you did at first. And maybe today some of you lost your first love, just gotten cold. It's time to come back. That's the first warning. Refocus. Second one is get serious. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 2. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? Now again, salvation here is the whole package, right? Justification, sanctification, glorification. When we come to Christ, growing in Christ, being with Christ. For since the message declared by angels. Now, what was the writer talking about? He's talking about the Old Testament law. In Acts 7, Stephen says that the angels were a mediator of bringing down the law. Paul says the same thing in Galatians. So he's talking about the Old Testament law. And he says, since the Old Testament law was reliable, we agree the law is reliable, right? Summed up in the Ten Commandments. And they're not only reliable, but every transgression and disobedience received a just retribution. The word transgressions there means a willful disobedience of the law. I know what the law is, and I choose not to obey it. I willfully violate the law. Disobedience means unwillingness to hear. So the writer says that law is reliable, and when you go against the law, there is a just retribution. There's a punishment. You murder someone, you go to jail. You steal something, you get in trouble. You commit adultery, you blow up your family. There is a punishment to every law. Now, here's what the writer is saying. If that's true with the law that the angels gave, how much more true is it with the instruction that Jesus gave us, who is, he already told us, is superior to the angels? If the law delivered by angels is reliable, and if there's punishment when you break it, then the same is true with the instruction delivered by Jesus. It is reliable. And when we break it, when we don't obey, there is discipline that goes with that. How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? Now let's think about it. What does the word escape mean? Escape what? Some believe this passage is for unbelievers. Even though the writer is writing to believers, he takes a break here and talks about unbelievers. And the escape here would be hell. I don't believe it is written to unbelievers. I believe it's written to believers. The escape here is discipline or punishment for our sin. How do we think there's not going to be discipline in our life if we neglect or take lightly or don't listen to or choose to go against this great salvation, the instruction that Jesus has given us? Does this make sense? In our Christian life, God loves us so much that he gives us these warnings. And he says, when you're drifting away, you're in a dangerous spot. I don't want you in that dangerous spot. So how do we think God's not going to discipline us to bring us back into the obedience that he desires for us? So you're saying, well, wait a minute. Again, I thought this was grace. And now you're talking about God's going to discipline us. It doesn't jive with me. I don't like that. Well, let me try this illustration. So what if you go out and you see all the children in the children's ministry playing out there in the middle of the road? Would it be gracious or ungracious to go get those kids out of the street? I think you'd agree gracious, right? They're playing in the street. It's a dangerous thing. And we got to do something about it. And God says the same thing. You're going to play in the street? I love you too much for you to be in a dangerous, drifting situation. And I'll bring discipline into your life so that I'll get your attention, so that discipline is always for restoration, so that you'll come back to me. Discipline is always for safety. Don't be deceived, Galatians says. God's not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he'll also reap. The last one is obey. Look at the end of verse 3. It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard, while God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles, and by the gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. That's the message that we want to follow. That's the message that was first declared by the Lord. This is the instruction of Jesus. Now, the writer of the Hebrews is telling the readers of the Hebrews, we weren't there with Jesus, but those who were with him, they attested to us what Jesus said. And it was with signs. Jesus did miracles. Jesus healed people. He demonstrated the authority of God. That's the message we got to hold to. You have to obey it. You can't drift. Back in 2012, we did a survey, and part of the survey dealt with things that make me drift. And here were five things that cause us to drift, and then I want to give five remedies. Here's the first one. I'll go in descending order, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Relationship issues, singleness and desiring to be married, marriage disharmony, parenting issues, work issues. I start to drift. I get my focus off Christ. I start doing the things he doesn't want me to do. That was the first one. The second one, number 4, was conflicting responsibilities. I just got too much stuff going on in my life. I got job issues. I got family issues. Then you want me to serve at the church. I got community issues. And then you tell me, find time to read the Bible. When do I do that? I got too many things going on. Then I get stalled. Then I start to drift. Number three, lack of accountability or encouragement. It takes time to build a relationship. 36% said that's one of the reasons I drift. I don't have that accountability. I don't have that encouragement from someone else. I gotta stop here and slow down for 1 second. Guys, all the machoism and bravado that guys put forth, don't play that mask game with all that machoism and bravado. You need someone else, and you need that encouragement. Number two, I let other activities take precedence. The tyranny of the urgent. I'm always doing something that's got to be done, but then at the end of the day, I look in the big things I should have gotten done, they never get done. How did I not read God's word again today? How did I not spend any time in prayer again today? I don't know. I had so many things going on. Number one, lack of discipline and spiritual practices. 60% said just not spending time in the Bible, engaged in worship, connected, served, sharing. I don't remember the last time I shared the message of Jesus Christ with someone. Okay, those were the problems. I got to go through the remedies even quicker. Here we go. Number five, had a spiritually moving experience. Someone said, I was stalled, I was stuck, I was drifting, but something caught my attention. And one of those things was a retreat. Number four was, shared my struggles with a spiritual friend or mentor. I finally got to the point where I said, I can't keep doing this on my own. I'm vulnerable. I need someone's help. Number three, I joined a small group. You need to be a part of the small group. Number two, I love this one. 32% of you said, just came to grips with my situation. I just got sick and tired of being sick and tired. Tired of drifting. I saw the dangers ahead. And maybe there was a temptation that I got so close to, and I thought, oh my goodness, what am I doing? Just came to grips. And then number one, connected with God in a powerful way through prayer, solitude, and scripture. I got in God's word, his love letter to me. Jeremiah 23:29 says this, is not my word like fire? Your heart kind of cold today? You want your heart reignited? Read God's word. And I'll close with this verse. 2 Samuel 5:20. It's right after David has won a great victory. And here's what David says. The Lord did it, David exclaimed. He burst through my enemies like a raging flood. So he named the place Baal Perazim, which means the Lord who burst through.
And Ron will be right back with a preview of our next broadcast. Please stay with us. Do you desire to turn the corner in your walk with Jesus? If so, maybe you don't know where to start. You feel held back by the past, or maybe you're calloused by sin. Well, King David, the man after God's own heart, experienced this very thing. In Ron Moore's book, Worn Out by Obedience, David is presented as a spiritual mentor. He's both flawed and on fire. He's the person you are and the person you want to be. In Worn Out by Obedience, you'll discover how God often molds your heart, like King David's, in seasons of brokenness, loneliness, and disappointment, sometimes even in your waywardness. Worn Out by Obedience is published by Moody Press and can be yours for a gift of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now, let's rejoin Ron for a look at our next broadcast.
You want to see what God's like? You want to see the brilliance of God? You just look at Jesus Christ. He's the exact imprint of God's nature. He's the upholder of the universe. Remember, we said that word was like a conductor. He's the one who keeps the universe together.
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And don't forget to order your copy of Ron's encouraging book, Worn Out by Obedience. If you're spiritually weary, discouraged, or exhausted, Worn Out by Obedience will help you to keep going or start moving. Worn Out by Obedience is published by Moody Press and is yours for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Again, our address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. And we want our Pittsburgh area listeners to know about some exciting upcoming events. How would you like to experience the Bible coming to life as you walk in the footsteps of Jesus and reflect on his ministry in Galilee and Jerusalem? You can do that when you join Ron Moore in the journey for a 10-day biblical encounter tour in Israel from April 20th to 29th, 2020. To learn more, attend the information meeting at the Bible Chapel in McMurray on September 29th at 12:30 in the afternoon. Also, make note of two energizing concerts coming this fall. American Idol contestant and contemporary Christian artist Danny Gokey will be at the Bible Chapel on October 11th. Then, 10th Avenue North joins us on November 8th. For more information and tickets, visit biblechapel.org/concerts. And please remember that The Journey relies on your generous donations to keep this ministry on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron Moore next time as we walk together on The Journey.